and welcome into episode 178 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm your host, Louise, and today I've got What's Crack review section with a double whammy of Woolly Wormhead's Elemental and New Leaf Yarn's Alpaca Sock Yarn. There's the swap section coming up, me section, and the shoppy section this episode. This episode is kindly sponsored again by my lovely friend, Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders. Run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad Gerald, they have a wealth of experience in the weaving and textile trade, over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top quality tartan and tweed fabric along with other Scottish goods and apparel, including Highland wear, to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to the requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on the website, do give her a call. The number is on the website www.scotchtweed.co.uk and is a UK free phone number. To help support the podcast, Angela has provided a discount code for listeners. Just quote CCC podcast at checkout to receive a 10% discount anytime. All links are with the show notes. Get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
What's the crack section?
What's a crack? Firstly, a huge congratulations to Angela and her partner for coming second in the most recent CrossFit Games in Glasgow, SECC. So you did really, really well, and I'm quite impressed that people actually go to Glasgow SECC for things other than the Crafty Show, which I believe is this weekend. So congratulations to Angela, and if you are going to the Crafty Show, have fun. I was kindly sent a pattern from Gardening Witch of the Gansey style fingerless mitts. Thank you so much, Jane. They are using double knit yarn from Woolly Chic Welsh Mountain DK and are really rather fetching. They use a design from the Gansey style and would be a lovely inroad into the idea of making a Gansey jumper if the thought of the small needles and the thin yarn stops you. So thank you very much, lovely Jane, and hopefully you will have a wee looky at them, some of you. The Loch Ness Knit Fest. Well, what can I say? I was festival hungover on the Sunday after it. You know that way when you've been looking forward to something for weeks and weeks and weeks and then it's done. That. My overall impression was that it was a good festival. There were some really excellent tutors for the workshops and the marketplace vendors were extremely good. Loads to choose from. I personally didn't like the ice rink as a venue, as whilst the ice is boarded off, it was cold underfoot and I felt sorry for the poor vendors having to be on it for 3 days. Plus, the room for the workshop in the afternoon was quite poor. We had a discussion about where else in Inverness for an event of that size could be held, and it turns out that there are a few others which might be something for the organisers to think about for future events, as the quality of the actual event was really high. And they have asked for feedback, so I'm thinking when I've stopped doing this, I shall mosey over there and give it. I really liked that there was someone on the stage most of the day, which kept a lovely atmosphere, albeit a wee bit on the loud side for a conversation with a mum who has a hearing aid. But all venues have their own things to everyone. I liked the size of the space in the hall because you could really get around in it. And Naomi said it was a bit overwhelming, so having the space to stand back from it was really good. I felt a bit disappointed for the organisers that there weren't more people there for them, but maybe it was just the times that I was there, and when I went to buy some wee county yarns, I struggled to get near it, so there was a fair brisk trade going on. My workshop in the morning was two-handed fair ale with Catherine Limer, who hails from the Borders, and I absolutely loved her. She was so easy to speak to and ask questions, and actually said at one point that she really wanted us to ask any questions we had, and that's why we were there, and not to go away still wondering. I thought that was quite a nice way to present your teaching. She honestly could have been a stand-up comedian as well, as her presentation was funny and extremely professional and I laughed a lot. One wonderful tip I thought I would pass on to you if you don't already do it, and then I would ask you, why didn't you tell me, is that when you join in the round, thread a bodkin with the waste yarn side and thread it through the first stitch of the next row and pull tight. Fantastic wee tip, and it actually really works. There's quite a few of us in the class, but she made time for everyone to see certain techniques, and I think that we all came away knowing more than we went in. Her pattern for wristers or fingerless gloves and instructions were good. The class was held in the Inverness Museum, which was a nice venue, but the only thing was it was a good 20 minutes walk from the ice rink. We had some lovely ladies in our class and we were given a lift down the road from a listener from Nairn who, I'm sorry, you did say your name, but I didn't write it down, but you were very, very nice. And she was wearing a wonderful jumper with a bonny teal and grey yoke, which again, she told me who it was knitted by, but I didn't write it down and I wasn't actually, I didn't know who it was, so I can't remember, sorry. But she was lovely and thank you for the lift. Then we found Naomi and had our lunch listening to a very talented harp player. It's not normally my cup of tea, but it is Naomi's, and she said that that harp player was her harp teacher's teacher, which took me a wee while to figure out too. And we then found the Queen Mother's charity table, which was quite full up, so I was quite impressed with that. I put my hats on and I took a photograph and I said goodbye to my Croft Hoos hat, and I wished whoever was going to get it and the baby hats well. We went over to the Highland Spinning Weavers and Dyeing Guild, who were all sitting spinning. I imagine that they'd probably all be quite cool too. And found Sheila of Black Isle Crafts, who was spinning up some beautiful, guess what colour, ladies? Black and red fibre. Sheila's signature colours are black and red, mostly red. We then went for a very slow walk round the vendors, who included Berlin Yarns from the Outer Hebrides, Kincraig from Brora, Lucy Haig Designs, J.C. Rennie themselves, Dye Ninja, Spectrum Yarns, Glenwevis Gin, can I go wrong with a bit of gin, Wee County Yarns, and I bought some wee nuggets of J.C. Rennie 4-ply, which was a bit weird because they were, J.C. Rennie were on the other side of the hall, but they were only doing their full-size balls and I only wanted enough to make another Croft Hoos hat. I also bought some Knit Pick Carbons DPNs in size 2.25mm, which I've been using on the review yarn, and I'll tell you about them then. And I also wanted some 4.5mm DPNs, and I bought some Knit Picks Zings. I was lucky then to meet some friends of the show. The very, very lovely TG Frog. Hi, Tanya. She's smiling. Are you smiling? I'm smiling. Who was with North Country child Sarah, and she's got some beautiful Fair Isle jumper kits for girls. I bought some rings for Tanya for making some new Dorset buttons. I got a one-on-one, well, one on three of us, I just like to think it was one-on-one, tutorial of knit mastery from Hannah K. Ross, who I did try to put in my pocket to keep for a later day to cheer me up. She escaped, but it was nice to see you, Hannah. I hugged our friend Carrie Westerman for the time since Edinburgh, then for all the hard times she's had recently, and also for all the time leading up to Edinburgh when I'll see her again. I went for the plus 20 seconds hug and at one point I asked, "You feel awkward yet?" To which she said, "No!" So we fell about laughing. There was much laughter. And she had Naomi in her class all day, which was lovely. It was really nice to see Black Isle Yarns Julie, who was there with Flutter by Knits, and they had a really lovely, lovely stand. Of course, I sidled over to Helen of Ripple's Craft, got my hug, breathed in the lovely yarny goodness. The lovely Woolly Wormhead appeared and actually picked me out the yarn for her scary hat pattern kit, which she and Helen have put together especially for the show. I had wanted the Royal Blue and Gold, which is about North Highland Harrier colours, and it's absolutely glorious together. I met up with a very kind Sarah, or Beast Chops, and her lovely, lovely mum, who had a journey and a half to get there because of cancelled trains and buses and stuff from Aberdeen. And also Karen from Retreat, who signed up to do an absolutely exquisite Fair Isle cardigan, which when she showed me the photograph, I was I laughed out loud. But it was in nervousness for her and thankfulness that I'm not doing it myself. I have total faith in you, Karen. I know that you can do that. I was tapped on my shoulder and thought, oh, cool, more listeners. But no, it was someone who just gave me a lovely, lovely compliment on my Kirsten Kapoor shawl, which I was wearing, and that was really nice. I did actually feel I was showing off wearing it. There was, as ever, some beautiful knitwear on show, and certainly was needed in the ice rink part of the hall, but not so much in the workshop areas where it was quite stuffy. We then went through to the Woolly Worm Head Turning Sideways workshop and had 6 people in, but thankfully they were all asking the same questions as me. This class is not beyond anyone, but is marked as advanced, as there are techniques you need to know before you go. However, whilst I have short rowed, I have never German short rowed. And whilst I have cast on, I have never crochet cast on that way. I got so, but I'm not a soldier. And it was more for the more knowledgeable knitter. Thankfully, Woolly is a very patient teacher. This was well worth the money, as well as the morning class. She even found Mom a perfect style of hat, which was fantastic. There was many good tips and techniques shown and suggested, and I came away wanting to make all the hats. Mom's actually made one already, and I think she took a lot from both classes. I did record with Mum and Naomi on the way down for what they were expecting to get out of it, but then I totally forgot to record on the way home. So I'm not going to include it because it hasn't finished it off for me. Sorry, Naomi. I know you were really looking forward to your part in this episode, but I felt, what are you going to look forward to? And then I never actually answered it. So I don't know, we were home and then I went, oh, I've not recorded it. So yeah, I felt a bit bad about that. I asked Naomi about how she found it on Facebook, and she said that she had a super day. It was so lovely to meet complete strangers and already have so much in common. I made lots of new connections, learnt so much from Kari, and was inspired seeing all the amazing knitting, and I can't wait to make a start my new projects with all the wool I bought. Not all the wool, the wool I bought. She bought some Town End alpaca, which seemed to be doing a roaring trade, and it was nice to paint. And I'm looking forward to my next knitting outing already. Obviously, she said all that in a Northern Ireland accent. You can imagine. Hopefully, they will have it again next year. They did say on the Twitter that they were planning it, as I would certainly attend again. I would hope that they would find a more superior venue, though possibly price the entry slightly lower, because maybe it put people off locally who would have popped in and then realised how fab it was, and they make a day out of it, and it would then attract more crafters. It was wonderful to see my knitting friends and not to have to go further south, so Selfish Louise really loved this. I loved both workshops, and I thought, I want to take all the workshops from now on in, but I was actually being taught by Woolly at the time that the Edinburgh Yarn Festival workshops went live, and from what I can see, the classes went within minutes. I had thought I would like the Kari Westerman Knitting Landscapes one, and also there's a double knitting one, but it was not to be. I could put my name on the waiting list, but I know I'll just swan around the podcast lounge, which I have put my application form in for. If you're a podcaster or a videocaster and thought, I'd love to go then, if you've not received an email from Knit British Louise, then please do go quickly and contact her via the Edinburgh Yarn Fest website and submit your application for podcast press tickets. The podcast lounge this year is going to be huge. It kind of has to be to fit all our egos and big heads in, but it is again being sponsored by our lovely, lovely friends at Blagger Yarns, so there is bound to be more news here. And if you will need to keep an eye on Knit British, as she has the first scoop on anything Edinburgh Yarn Festival. They are also having a marquee out the back for us knitters to sit and stay all day if we choose. I'm thinking that the podcast lounge is staying in the same place, so we get most of the hall instead of just the top corner, so hopefully less fighting over seats. After Saturday, I absolutely cannot wait to see you all again. I certainly missed my Ruth, my Denise, and of course my Ella this Saturday, but it was nice to meet new people, and I was delighted that Naomi got so much out of it. And also catch up with those I did actually meet with, and so that Woolly Wormhead was considering doing a video podcast and was wondering for feedback, so you could go over there and say one thing or the other.
The review section.
Speaking of which, review section. This is all things Woolly Wormhead this episode, isn't it? Elemental. This is the new pattern and PDF collection from our favourite hat architect, Woolly Wormhead. It's a 28-page ebook, which has 5 new hat patterns. They're all using short row wedges, so I'll tell you now that you need to learn these. You don't need to know German ones, but the instructions at the start are excellent for the German short row. I really like the graphic design of this ebook. The techniques are at the front and very clear and very easy to follow. Plus, there's links there to Woolly's website and Instagram, where you can see these in video form. I actually do follow you, Woolly. I had realised. She looked back. She said, "You follow me on Instagram now?" I actually don't know, but yes, I do, and I have done for a while. She explained on Saturday that she keeps her instruction videos really short, as she has limited broadband amount upload, and also for those that have limited broadband. I thanked her. I laughed a bit in the morning, as we've been talking about YouTube being a wonderful resource, but sometimes they can go on and on for ages, playing with the yarn in their hands for minutes, and finally get to the technique you want to see, and it's over and done with before you realised. Well, look no further than Woolly for techniques now, listeners. So she has them on Instagram, or they're catalogued on her website. The collection itself has been themed around The Last Airbender, which is inspired by Nickelodeon's Avatar, The Last Airbender, and The Legend of Korra. And it explores the five elements through yarn bending. You're actually bending your yarn. And if you know that series, then you will understand what I'm talking about. For all the rest of us muggles, different geekdom, huh? For all the rest of us, then just think lovely, lovely elementals. You'll honestly understand where she's coming from. For the patterns, she has used Bloomsbury DK by The Yarn Collective, and you know what? It is glorious. I had a look in the project pages of Ravelry to see how people have put different colour combinations on their hats, but I was actually struggling to get past the originals, and especially on the Azula pattern. I mean, you can match your stash to the hats, and it would be lovely, lovely, lovely in natural colours, but seriously consider buying the Yarn Collective yarn, as who doesn't want a hat like the picture exactly? The depth and the mottledness of the way the yarn has been dyed just goes perfectly well in with this pattern. My favourite is the Katara, which is the water element, but I think also it's because it's in blue. I like the movement on it, and I really, really love the rest of them equally. The patterns are charted, so you need to work out how to do this if you've not used a chart before. What I really liked on her charts was that each row has how many stitches you should be on that row. The patterns are rated as lower end of medium on Ravelry, and I would put them as moderate. In that respect, I mean, as long as you know the techniques, the pattern themselves are not difficult, but it helps if you know how to short row and how to Kitchener, but it's not really necessary to know beforehand. Plus, these are techniques that will help you in other garments, so if you've never tried them before, then why not try them out on this hat? I think if you're prepared with the facts of moderate skill level required, then X, Y, and Z techniques, you're going to be okay. It's when patterns all of a sudden say, do blah, 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 and you think, huh? When did you mention that I needed to know how to do that? This ebook tells you in advance, and it tells you plenty. You didn't need to go on to her workshop for this hat. Obviously, it was helpful to me that I did and I had fun, but you honestly don't need to. Each hat has a sense of movement about it. The short row shaping does that for you, as well as shape the hat itself. They go down below your ears, and because they're all garter stitch, oh yes, listeners, then you have enormous strength capacity for those with even the biggest head. They flatter, and they're really stylish for this winter season coming. The cost is $16 or £13-ish. For five patterns, it's working out at $3 a hat, and you can buy them separately for $6 or £4.70-ish a hat, so you might as well just get the collection. If you love Woolly Wormhead, or if you love hats, then I would totally recommend this collection. I really can't wait to get started on mine. Swatchtastic. This is New Leaf Yarns, and this is www.newleafyarns.com. Nikki the Alpaca. There you go, that's all you need to know, really. The alpaca is called Nikki. Right, off, go to the New Leaf Yarns now, order it for Christmas. You just don't need to know any more than that. I got you Nikki, didn't I? Well, you actually want to hear more? Ah, oh, okay then, because I've written it. I was asked by Jane of New Leaf Yarns if I'd like to review her new sock yarn, which has a mixture of alpaca from a local herd, blue-faced Leicester and Teeswater. After I spat her hand out, which I had just bitten off, she posted it up, and it is lovely, listeners. I have the light silvery creamy natural grey, but it has wee flecks of depth of colour throughout it. Obviously, it's Alpaca Soft and tease what they're hardy with a halo from the BFL and the alpaca. My findings are as follows. Firstly, the feel is soft, but as it's alpaca and it feels nice and chalky and not oily. My skin was really appreciative of this. I wound it and there was a rake of yarn in the sample, so I had a lovely wee cake to work from. I found no vegetable matter at all. There was the old long guard here, but nothing that wasn't supposed to be there. And I thought, I'm going to knit a sock. It said sock yarn, so I cast on a baby sock and I used the Flexor pattern by Claire Devine's Sock Anatomy book, which was really quite quick. I used some bamboo-sized 2.25mm needles at start and got a lovely gauge. The rib is nice, the stocking stitch is lovely. It shows off the yarn to its best advantage. The yarn is in a 2-ply make, although it's a 4-ply weight, and in some places there's a very slight slob where it thickens slightly. And I mean slight, and I like it because it gets shown in the stocking stitch. I went to the Knit Fest meantime in Inverness and I bought me some new Knit Picks carbons in size 2.25mm, which are like matchsticks, but sturdy with it being carbon fibre. Richard was for taking with them because he was like, oh, these are like my bike. They're lovely and light. They're quite stabby though. I better be good. They have metal tips and the needles themselves warm quite quickly in the hand and don't get sweaty or sticky. So I swapped them over with the bamboo and the sharper points split the ply of the yarn a fair bit more and got to the point where I had to look at my knitting when I was stocking stitching. That and I was turning the heel, so well, it was probably quite a good thing I looked at my knitting. One sock down, I was desperate to get some pattern work in, so I just did a stocking stitch to get the sock made. So I then cast on a swatch and I garter stitched, and you can see the depth of the colour coming through and the stitches sit very nicely. And then I stocking stitched on straight, which it pulls in a fair bit, so watch your tension on this. I then moss stitched, which it likes, a lovely textural stitch, and then I lace knitted and it loves that. I used a very simple knit two together and then yarn over and it really looks great. But as said before, watch your needle you use because it's very splitty-mcgitty. I tried a bobble stitch on it, but you have to put a lot of stitches on for a proper bobble because it's kind of softish and thin. I even tried a bit of Fairell with it and it's a lovely background knit. This one with red screams Christmas. So you could get them for a Fairell jumper for Christmas or socks. I'd be your friend. This would be a beautiful base and a very wonderful background. If you use it as a dense stocking stitch or a lacy openwork shawl or cowl, it loves it just the same. And crochet, it loves it too. It gives a gorgeous open soft work in the triple and double stitch. This would be so cosy in a big granny stitch blanket on your lap. Oh, that would be nice. The alpaca is the soft part of this, along with the blue-faced Leicester, but with the Tees Walter, the blue-faced Leicester, the alpaca's kept in order where you could use it in garments. When I soaked the sock, there was no stretch or sag, but a nice bounce to it. I had it next to my skin, and all I felt was softness. There's a fair bit of bloom and fluffiness when washed, but they've done a good job in the washing of the fleeces because the water ran clear straight away. This is going to be available from the 24th of November, so a month from now, and it'll cost £20 a skein, which is a good price considering the quality and provenance of it. I would completely recommend this to get your knitting or your crochet hands on. So thank you, Jane, and all at New Leaf Yarns.
The swap section.
Swap. I'm going to open a thread for the annual Christmas or winter decoration swaps. I love getting swaps, but I stopped doing them because there was a few swaps that didn't turn out right, or either myself or other people's, and it's also good to have a break. So if you would like to take part, please take as much care as the swapee. It really gladdens my heart to get a wee box in the post, which is lovely post, so I want you to get the same. So this year, if you're going to take part, it's the same as previous years. You must include a handmade or a really nice shop-bought decoration. You don't have to make the handmade decoration yourself, but most of you are crafty peoples and you would want to. There are loads of different religious celebrations around this time of year, and this is an inclusive podcast. So I say Christmas, but it can be winter because not all our listeners celebrate Christmas but do like to take part in the swap. So it'll be up to you to find out or offer up if you do or not celebrate Christmas or winter or whatever it is. Also, include a note which will tell the receiver something about the decoration and you and your hometown so we can learn a little bit about each other. I love taking out our Christmas decoration box and finding all the previous year's decorations and think fondly of my listeners' past. Please sign up by the third week of November, post by the first week of December if posting abroad, and also then they can have it displayed.
Coming up, it's near.
Coming up. In November, before Christmas, there is Gardening Witch Jane at Festival. Now, I might have actually said the Sunday, the 11th of November, but that's not true. It's Saturday, the 11th of November, and it's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Priory School, Bedford Road, Hitchin. And you can get your tickets, £7 on the door, or advance for £5 or £4 for concessions, and children between 11 and 16. And children under 11 have free admission. Now, to me, that's a really good price for an event, and I'd be quite happy to pay any of them prices.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. Listeners, I watched Wayne's World the other night. Party time! Wayne's World, excellent. But oh boy, was it of its time. It has Scooby-Doo ending. Travel back in time. Doobie-doobie-doo, doobie-doobie-doo. Back to January and the Blacker Pod knit along. Remember, I had been knitting the Newell cardigan by Cecily Glowick MacDonald using Blacker West Country tweed in red. Well, after finishing the Kirsten Kapoor shawl, I thought, oh, I could finish it in time for the Loch Ness Knit Fest. Maybe if I had been diligent and knitted on it every day instead of swanning off and making baby hats or fingerless mitts. But no, listeners, no, I wasn't. And I was quite slow because I was doing magic loop on my sleeves as I didn't have size 4.5mm DPNs. And I don't find it as fast a technique as DPNs. It is handy to know how to do it, and some people prefer it to DPNs, but I actually prefer DPNs to magic loop. And I'm glad I've learned the skill, but I really prefer DPNs for working in the round. And I only do it if I don't have the right size DPNs, but I do have the right size interchangeable tips. I had left it, the actual cardigan, sitting in the bag, and it took me a wee while to figure out where I was. I had stopped knitting at the bottom of the pockets, and it tells you to put onto waist yarn, and then do the sleeves, and then go back and finish the rib and underneath the pockets of the body. I read the pattern and then I read it again and again and again, and I could find no logical reason why I couldn't just finish the body before moving back to the sleeves. The shape of the body was interesting as you have long fronts which get folded back and these create the pocket shapes. So I just carried on and finished that, did that to that point, and then I went back to the sleeves. I borrowed some long bamboo DPNs from my mum and whooshed down the first arm, which is the pattern has 3/4 length sleeves, which I had actually forgotten. I like long sleeves. I live in a climate where I like sleeves. I like long sleeves. And if I don't have long sleeves, I think, why don't I have long sleeves? And plus, this yarn is quite plump and I really wouldn't be wearing a... It's not fine enough for a summer top, I don't think. I think, to me, a 3/4 length sleeve would be more, I'm going to say summer, not winter. Because you kind of have not winter and, would, I don't know, seasons, who knows what the weather's doing. Moving back, where were we? So I had one arm finished last Wednesday and I thought, oh, could I possibly finish it? And then I read the pattern back again and I thought, I've still got to do a neckline after that and sew up the pockets. As a listener, this cardigan has pockets. Hannah and Amanda, you will be pleased because I've made them deeper. I didn't get it finished in time, and it was just ridiculous anyway, because I wanted to wear my navy blue dress, which has pockets, and the deep wine red of the cardigan, I think it would have matched it anyway. But you know what it's like. It's nice to show off your finished objects to those that understand. And the past week has now seen me march through 3 balls of yarn, and I finished the neckline last night. I have ends to weave in and a clasp to sew into the neck and also give it a nice soak, but I'm finished the knitting. I'm really looking forward to wearing it, and also I'm looking forward to putting something new into my knitting bag. So, listeners, rub your hands in glee. Wiggle your fingers in a Wallace and Gromit stibe. For future plans, I have many. For my next big garment, I think I'm going to make The Breathing Space by Vera Valamaki. I always think of Amy of Knit Spin Cake podcast when she said Vera Valamaki in her lovely northeast accent. I miss Amy's podcast. Anyway, I was gifted by the very, very lovely and wonderful and talented Twin City Ellen, and also very, very wonderful and talented Turbo Gal Lisa, the yarn to make this when they came over from the retreat this May, which was extremely kind of them. I will have a bit of a tidy up first of notion bags and knitting bags, I think. I went into my stash box in the couple of days before the Loch Ness Knit Fest, mainly looking for yarn and needles for the workshops, but it was a really good exercise in that I found things that I had been looking for or had totally forgotten or didn't realise that I had forgotten that I had needed it or bought it, as in the clasp for the Newell cardigan. However, it's a good exercise and it made me really appreciate what I had already. So then the desire to go and splurge on more yarn was quashed. Not so good for the yarn sellers, of course, but that meant I bought stuff that I needed as opposed to, oh, it's so pretty, I want it. Did I tell you I came home with money? Going to two workshops helps out enormously as well. It's less time on the market. I also wanted to make a purple moonraker cowl a few years ago now, as my teal moonraker cowl, which the very kind Perplex made me years ago, is such a comfortable wear and it goes well with a teal fleece that I have. I have a purple fleece exactly the same style but no purple moonraker cowl to match it. I have a bag ready with the beads and the yarn and the pattern. I also want to crochet an Incredible Hulk because Thor Ragnarok is coming out next week in pictures and Sandy has expressed a want to go to it and I thought Hulk would be nice for him. You don't want to make me angry. Rawr. Rips off shirts and goes and Hulk smashes something. Rawr, Hulk smash. Sorry, that's for future podcasts when I've actually started. I also want to get stuck into my Woolly Wormhead Scoury hat kit I bought, which you can now buy from Ripplecraft shop. If you think that the blue and gold is stunning on the photograph, wait to see it in real life. It's a positive feast for the eyes. I was lucky to try on the sample hat too, so thankfully it suited me because I bought the kit before I tried on the hat, like the fool of a took that I am. Oh, we were watching a bit of Lord of the Rings Two Towers last night and, well, trying to explain it to children is, I don't know, not fun. They've seen The Hobbit, and I've read them The Hobbit actually first, but we thought The Lord of the Rings was maybe a little beyond them until now, and I can't find my DVDs. So I've been waiting for it to come onto telly, but it's on quite late. And it is quite difficult explaining things without spoiling it. I do have a shrug that I want to make. And I knew there was a tenuous link here, in a cerise pink buckle yarn, and this is yarns from the plane that I bought 3 retreats ago, and the pattern is called Treebeard Shoulder Wrap by Susan Pandolf, and it's based on Treebeard from Lord of the Rings. She uses a green buckley kind of yarn, but I've got cerise pink, so I'm pimping up Treebeard. I should organise that too. I have so much potential in my stash, it just makes me itchy. I want to make another Croft House hat to replace the one that I put out because I think that my tension will be better. Also, because I bought some little nuggets of the GC Rennie at Inverness and I sort of went for what the Croft House's in Caithness colours would be. And also, I'll have like ramshackly ones, and Naomi suggested I put some gorse in as well. So I have the colours for that. And the Catherine Limer Fair Isle mitts and cuffs that she had, I would quite like to finish them, but I think I'm going to take out what I have started because the yarn I was using was the yarn that I had been sent in the last swap for making another booster beanie. And I was actually looking at the pattern and looking at the yarn, and I didn't realise that there was the exact colours of the yarn in the pattern. So I'm not going to use it for these mitts. I want to use it for a Busta Beanie, which is a really, really lovely, quite a quick hat, fair ale knit. And you never have too many. So I also want to get back to the socks by Becky Green and use my new sock knit pick carbons that I've cast on and see how I get along with them. I've cast on, but I think I'm going to take it out and cast on a bigger size, is a Lush cardigan. But this is for a baby for my pals at Running Club, who I saw yesterday. I've been meaning to make this baby something for a while now. And I had cast on the 0 to 6 month size, but she's 12 weeks now, so it might be sense to go up a bit. And I've only cast on about an inch, so it's not going to be much to rub out and take it again. And I want to get back to my Dragonflies Rising shawl and knit a Santa or a snowman for Christmas. And I'm not doing any Christmas gift, Nadine, but you feel free. Finally, these are all future plans. Finally, knitting all the things news. Well, I have been knitting on the new leaf yarn, which took a fair bit of time. And I was sitting at the swimming pool grafting the tow last night, and I'm not actually very good at Kitchener. I always, but always give it rabbit ears. Hopefully, grafting on the woolly worm head hats will assist my learning, albeit slightly different with garter Kitchener to stocking stitch Kitchener. Don't ask me who wants to be on Millionaire, what the difference is, but there are two sections on the instructions, so I'm assuming that there must be. Otherwise, where would there be? On spinning news, I have now one full bobbin of Adelaide Walker BFL Tussa Silk in the natural fog colour, and it's hoping to be a double knit weight with two plies. And it had put me off with the flyaway fibre, and I did go back to it because I was wearing worky clothes because I was going to chop wood. I have scabby clothes for chopping wood. I didn't do the wood until I did the spinning. I spun about a third of it, and I see the Ravelry group, a very helpful comment from Spunning Lady, who suggested that the fibre is put on a ever so slightly damp cloth, and then the fibre behaves itself. I haven't tried this yet, so I will get back to you on it. And I'm glad I haven't finished the bat now, so I can test it out for you. It honestly had been putting me off. I keep looking at it as I go past. On to the sewing front. The Bairns have just finished their October holidays, and the main objective was to make or organise their Halloween outfit. Sandy wants to be a green army man from Toy Story, so we got together all the camouflage and he made cardboard bits for his feet so he can walk along with them. And that was him sorted. Daisy had wanted to be the green one from Guardians of the Galaxy, but it meant buying her a black leather jacket and other bits and pieces, and I really wasn't into that. And by this time, she'd bought herself a big tube of green face paint. So I said, well, can you be something green then and use your face paint? Like a frog. Frog's good. Or how about the Wicked Witch of the West and we can get you a flying monkey? Oh, that would be good. You were a flying monkey. She said, no. No, I don't want to be a witch or a frog. But she then found she wanted to be Poison Ivy from Batman. Gulp, said I. But then on the internet there were some little girls with green tutus and I thought, we could attempt that. Net is not too expensive. Because I really hate having to buy stuff for costumes that they only ever wear once. So I looked up how to do it, and it's not hard. I want to make all the tutus now. You need a length of thick elastic or ribbon, which you're supposed to measure round their waist, and then you take off 4 inches. I see, that's quite a lot. But I didn't want to hurt my bairn, so I did 2 inches. Kind of tight, but not too tight. And I thought, well, when you put all the net on, it's going to stretch it, so fair enough. And then you get lengths of net or tulle cut 6 inches wide by 54 inches long, which you double over, and this is for an aged 9-year-old, by the way, and you put them through the loop using the elastic one side of the loop and the ends the other. Go on to the Pinterest for a proper tutorial, listeners. There's no sewing in it, though. Woohoo, fantastic. Yes, I know I've got a sewing machine, but I hate making costumes. They never turn out right. And then I thought, oh, great. Poison Ivy's got a ropey thing of ivy, which is apparently her whip. So I found a big length of wire-edged ribbon, and I got Daisy to make some patterns of leaves, and then she drew round them all, and then I cut them out because she said she didn't want to. There must have been at least 150 ivy leaves from Greenfelt. And then I ran out of Greenfelt and I found an old green shopping bag, so we cut that up too. And then I machine embroidered them on with wee tendrils of raffia onto the long ribbon and also onto the net for the skirt. Now, that's acceptable sewing. Machine embroidery. And then Daisy made a mask for herself, so she's good to go. It took me a whole afternoon to do that. In sewing news, I bought new curtains for my sitting room. They're called Hamish, and they're a sort of tartan plaid check and a teal, cream, red and pink. They match, which is the main thing, but I needed to take them up. Thankfully, Mum came and she helped me. Well, she told me what to do as she measured and pinned in the right place. I had no clue. Curtains are not my thing. It took us 4 hours to do them. They are awesome. And I keep thinking I'm in somebody else's house. So they're posh. I had asked Mum to come up, actually, because I had bought some material earlier this year to make Sandy some curtains. Someone was having a clear out and had a roll of camouflage thick coat material and said, oh, you could buy that. And I was like, I don't want it. Oh, no, actually, no, I do want it. So I bought it. And we thought Sandy's now of an age where he's outgrown his cars and tractors and curtains and tractor light shades. So new stuff it is. Hopefully this camouflage will see him through for quite a few teenage years. We got him a bronze lampshade and Mum instructed me in the curtain making. And I was sitting last night and goes, oh, look at your lovely curtain, Sandy. I made with help from Mum. To which Sandy says, you mean Grandma made them and you helped. He would be correct. I mean, I did the actual sewing, but she told me where to cut, she measured, she pinned, she got the tape and the top all organised. She did get Sandy to thread the curtain tape, which was really good. And I was reusing the tape from his old curtains, but ooh, it's kind of old now because the sun's gotten to it. So it's just on and no more. I found a whole bag of curtain hooks, so they are on with the blackout curtains behind. And I'm really, really chuffed with them. My mum is ace. Have I told you this before? You may borrow her, but I want her back. I love my mum.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. There's not much in the shop. I need to start getting back to it. The bairns have gone back to school today, so I shall get back to the sewing. But if you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff as back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. There is a list of all the tartans that I have in stock, and you can ask for one to be made. It doesn't cost any extra for the custom order. It just may take a couple extra days for me to do it. Sometimes I don't have the correct coloured ribbon that matches and I have to go to town. Granted, I have to go to town to post it anyway, but I will happily make you any of them. And if you also have a clan tartan that you would like made up that I don't have listed, let me know and I'll put it on the list. And then if there's more than two of these, or it seems to be a popular bonny tartan that'll sell quite well, I'll get some for you. Or you can support the podcast and get nothing back if that's your want, which you do this by paypal.me/CaithnessCraft. I'm happy to review patterns, books, yarns, notions if you're in that line, so don't be shy.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate you take the time and download and listen to me splaff on. I would like to add that all my opinions are mine and occasionally get facts wrong, but I try not to and I don't do it on purpose. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft. And if it goes quiet near the end of the month, it's because we've run out of internet. We've been saving this last bit for me. So don't expect much chat this next few days. You can get the podcast from Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The intro is from Free Music Archive and is called Entertainment for the Braindead by a Friend. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.